Hey everybody, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LPFM Lexington, Kentucky. Coming to you live and hot from the north side of Lexington, from the basement of the STEAM Academy, the 100 plus year old Johnson Elementary located up here on 6th Street. I'm Chuck.
I'm the Benjineer, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, Charles. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Oh,
pretty
good.
We enjoyed listening to Celeste Lewis interview for the first hour. I hope you did as well. And yeah. We encourage you can check out Creative Mornings Lexington to see all their upcoming events, all the cool stuff that they have going on.
And we'll link to that on the post for this particular episode on the LexingtonCommunityRadio.org website.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, first of all, up here in the, we've got some pretty interesting guests coming on. In the meantime, I want to tell you guys about a few things going on, here this weekend around town. One event that's going on, organized by former Kentucky Poet Laureate Frank X. Walker, is a Kentucky, basically an Artists for Kentucky Forum that's happening in Danville this Saturday, from noon to 3 p.m. So if you're listening to the rebroadcast of this show, which happens from 11 to noon, you got about 20 minutes to get
in your car. Go.
Yeah, get in your car. Go to Danville.
No time to lose.
The event is happening at Danville High School at 203 East Lexington Avenue in Danville, Kentucky. So basically the event is calling for all artists, whether you're jazz pianists, poet laureates, book lovers, actors, musicians, activists, photographers, filmmakers, whatever you do, if you care about the future of arts in Kentucky, this is a call for folks to come and discuss on how to join up and join hands and move together in realizing our state's full collective potential. So once again, Frank X. Walker is organizing at Danville High School's Gravely Auditorium this Saturday. A call, an Artist for Kentucky Forum. So that's happening.
Very good.
Yeah, the future of the arts here in Kentucky.
Well, Frank X. Walker's hosting it. I'm sure it'll be good.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah
Frank's great. Also this Saturday, from 6 to 8 p.m., down at the Ann Tower Gallery at 141 East Main Street, there's going to be a retrospective and a remembrance for Ann Tower, who passed away this year, with a collection of her artwork.
And that was the end that Celeste was referring to in the first hour.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's going to be a kind of a celebration of her life and an exhibit of her work that will be open until March 14th. So you can check that out. That will be 141 East Main Street, Ann Tower, retrospective and remembrance. Let's see, what else is going on?
It occurred to me, just kind of as I was always thinking about our interview with Celeste as I was piecing it together at home, was we have so many great artists. We have great painters. We have great sculptors. We have great musicians. We have great filmmakers. We have great performers. Some of the best writers in the country are from and or work in the state of Kentucky. None of this works unless the public supports it, unless you show up and you go to these things. And I know the weather. Well, actually, you know what? The weather's not all that bad. It's just a little rainy. Usually it's snowing this time of year. So the rain is better than snow. So get out there and support it, and it'll only get better. If you give a poetry reading and there's nobody there to hear it, does it make a sound? Is there any pretentiousness?
I think that's what Walt Whitman said, that great poets need great audiences.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if nobody's there to hear it, yeah. I mean, it's there, but for sure. You got to support your local arts. And
it's hardly any of it costs any money.
Yeah.
At most, you're looking at like $5 here, maybe $10 there.
Yeah.
Get it while it's hot. Get it before, you know, everybody finds out about it.
And
it gets too crowded.
Yeah, and I think for me, the era, the heaviness in the air, you know, I think about Marco Rubio during this last election when he said, we need more welders than philosophers, I believe. I'm pretty sure he's who said that.
And Obama made a crack about art historians.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Well, the idea that this nation was organized and this whole structure of our government was based off of the concepts of French philosophers. Like the Federalist Papers. Yeah, they learned from French philosophers. So like,
government is a philosophy.
Yeah,
and capitalism is a philosophy.
Yeah, and it's not even about like, you know, welders over philosophers. It's that both are vital skills. Both are incredibly necessary for our society to function and thrive and grow.
What if there's a philosophy of welding?
Yeah. Oh, there are.
Yeah.
There are many. Underwater welding is one of the most difficult things I can only imagine in many ways.
Yeah, I can only use my imagination for that.
Yeah.
So don't belittle welders and don't belittle philosophers. Yeah,
we need both. And we need artists. And especially now, we need artists to come out and let your voice be heard. And
don't be intellectually lazy, is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
All right.
So nonetheless, we're going to... we'll probably take a little break here, wait for Dr. Wormling to give us a call. Yeah. But nonetheless, I want to talk to you about our guests for the second half of the hour. It's going to be some folks.
We have more guests?
We do.
Oh, my goodness.
We've got more guests. Some folks from Serve, which is a tremendous effort to bring home-cooked meals to folks downtown, folks who are hanging out in Phoenix Park, folks who are hanging out in front of the courthouse, folks who, unfortunately don't have homes or have been kicked out of the homeless shelters for
a variety
of reasons.
Yeah, in front of the downtown library, too, is where a lot of them kind of congregate.
Exactly. So Serve's whole mission is basically to come together with a large group of volunteers, cook a home-cooked meal, and take it down to them, take it where they are.
Great.
So we're going to learn a little bit more about that in the second half of the hour, which I'm excited about, and what a great, noble task.
Absolutely, yeah.
So nonetheless, I guess we're going to take a little break here.
Yeah, I'll play a little something here.
Yeah, we'll play a little tune for you, and then we'll be right back. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LP FM. Hey everybody, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LPFM, located here on the north side of Lexington. Here in the studio, we have some special guests. We've got Tom and Allie Viney here from Serve. Hey guys.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How's it going?
We're great. How are you?
Doing great. Well, we wanted to come on to talk about the tremendous work that you all are doing with Serve, of bringing real good home-cooked meals to folks who need it, regardless of their background, regardless of their socioeconomic situation. It's great. So can you tell us a little bit, and for folks out there that don't know, how did Serve get started?
Well, actually, a year ago this week, Serve started. Allie and I were driving to school one day, and it was cold outside, weather was miserable, and we both had been wanting to get back involved in giving back to the community. I'd grown up working with a variety of different organizations, and that's something that I wanted to bring into my daughter's life. We decided that the way that we would do that best is for us to be able to take something that was really important in our lives and pass that along to the Lexington community. Mm-hmm. And that was healthy meals. And so we went to the store and bought enough material to put together a 6-gallon pot of chicken noodle soup, and went downtown and served a meal, and it really started from there, and it's been a wonderful experience ever since.
That's awesome. So how often do you all go down there and serve meals to folks?
We go down there once every week, every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock.
Every Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And if folks want to join up with you in this compassionate work that you're doing, how can they do that? Can they join out?
They can contact us over Facebook. Every week we send out a calendar saying if you were interested in attending or if you are going to attend. But it's not mandatory. You can just come down and help out if you'd like.
That's great. And what is the address of the Facebook page?
It's facebook.com/servelex, S-E-R-V-E-L-E-X.
That's great. That's awesome. So what kind of food do you guys cook typically? I know you said chicken noodle soup, but...
Yeah, what's on the menu?
Well, you know, we started out with... We've varied the menu based off of the season. So during the winter months, we try to do something that is warm and nutritious. During the summer, we try to do something still warm, but we'll do some cool pastas with a lot of proteins and a lot of carbohydrates and fresh vegetables. And that's one of the things that has been really well received by the people that we see every single week, as they love that fresh vegetable component. But then also we take requests, and as we've gotten to as we've gotten to know a lot of the people that we see each week and build a relationship with them, they'll come up and they'll say, well, when are you going to bring chili again? And so we'll have to schedule a chili night. And for Thanksgiving and for holidays, we've done tried to do some special things. So it really is, we try to cater to the people's needs. And that's mm-hmm. really how we've grown as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of people always say that it's expensive to be poor, but it's also taxing mentally. I think when you don't have the calories, you don't have the means of getting a reasonable and a decent meal, it's hard to function, it's hard to think. And so, it's amazing.
It is. That's one of the things that we've really tried to do, is that we're not solving really any problems. All we're doing is just trying to address people's hunger. And I know that if I have a good meal that day and the next day, I feel better. I have a better day. So we really do try to focus on just doing something little that will help somebody out that evening or the next day. We really, as I mentioned earlier, we try to cater to what their needs are. So, for example, this is a community that is on their feet a whole lot during the day. So we focus on trying to bring a lot of fresh fruits, especially bananas, because it's got a lot of potassium in it. And so these are the type of things that the real lesson for us has been is trying to understand the people that we're serving more, so that we can really give back to them in a meaningful way.
That's awesome. I love that. And how have you kind of seen Serve grow since from the first time you did it? Because I assume you all just did it on your own out of the goodness of your heart. But have you seen it in the year since you started? Kind of what has changed and what have you been surprised by?
The first night that we were out there was just us and it was freezing out. And as we've gone along, we've gotten a lot of different volunteers, some that'll come religiously and then some that'll come every now and then, and it's really been a great experience because we've gone from just going out there with two people serving a bowl of soup from having three tables of food and possibly 15 to 20 volunteers each night.
Now, are you guys making all the meals yourself, or do you have help in some way? I know with, like, bananas, you can just pick those up and take them down, but how involved is that for you guys?
We have a lot of volunteers that will make the food for us. Most of the time, we're probably making a lot of the soup and the pasta and stuff. But on our Facebook, we have a little area where it says, what are you bringing? So if we see that somebody else is going to be bringing a main dish or multiple people are going to be bringing a main dish, we'll normally just step back and let them bring the food.
Yeah, it really has grown over the last several months. We've been very blessed by having some organizations get involved. A lot of different people have come out and volunteered and started wanting to help bring some of those main dishes, which has been nice. And it gives the people that we take care of a break from having to deal with my cooking every single week. But it really has, for the first several months, this was us being able to go out and as I mentioned, try to pass on something that has become very important in Allie and my life, which is that very healthy coordination of all the different things that you need to have a very nutritious diet, bringing that to some people that may not have the means to be able to get that for either themselves or their families, whatever their situation. But the volunteer support has been just absolutely amazing. It really reinforces what a great community that we live in, because people are coming out of the woodwork to be able to go and help. And as Allie mentioned, whether they're there 1 week or whether they're there on a routine basis, it's been a spectacular experience.
So who are some of the organizations, and is the city helping you guys out at all, or who are the other folks kind of helping you with this?
Well, we've had several donations, some donations from different restaurants such as Cheddar's. We've had Cane's has come out and donated some food to us as well. We've had Saul Good came out and did one time. So it's not. But the nice thing is that it's not only delivering some food component, but also what we have evolved into is when we first started, it was just delivering a bowl of soup. But now we have so many volunteers. It's a regular meal, and so we've actually received some great donations of to-go boxes because we're able to load to-go boxes up, and then the people that we're serving are able to take that And whether they need to go and catch the bus, they're able to get on the bus with a closed container. And mm-hmm. so that doesn't inhibit them moving around and getting transported around the city, or if they just want to be able to walk over to a park bench and be able to have something to eat. So the donations have not only been from a food standpoint, but it's also been some of the materials that we need. Some great people have donated financially to us. So it has really grown to a spectacular level, and I really only see us continuing to not so much get bigger, but to really continue to try to serve more and more people and meet their needs.
What materials other than food could you guys use? You mentioned containers, could maybe silverware, napkins, things like
that. Yeah, if there are any restaurant owners out there, folks who want to help out.
Or people got stuff hanging around their house, leftover plates from 4th of July.
During the winter, we also take a lot of clothes. We've been doing that for the past couple of weeks where we've brought warm jackets, a lot of oversized sweatshirts and stuff. We also, like he said, we love to have to-go boxes so they're able to carry around their food easier. Plastic bags have been a really big thing so they can take, you know, apples, oranges, bananas, and even put some of their clothes in it if they want, and it just helps them carry things a lot easier since they're on their feet all of the time.
One of the other interesting things is that that really it took us going down there to learn is hand cream is a big desire during this time of year because people that are out in the elements, their hands get really dry. Mm-hmm. And if they don't have gloves or their gloves get damp, their hands can get chapped. And so being able to bring something as simple as some hand cream or other personal items is very well received. The interesting dynamic that we learned is where a lot of people will want to go and get something at a retail store to be able to go and hand off to people. They're limited in how they transport things around the city. And mm-hmm. so we really try to go and get more of those, the travel size containers, because that really works with anyone that may be keeping everything that they have in a backpack is something that that they can't have a whole lot of room taken up by a huge bottle of hand cream or shampoo or whatever it may be. But
maybe toothpaste, maybe a little soap, something like that.
That's exactly right. Those type of things.
Or maybe deodorant rather than soap, I would think.
You know, we really get donations for both, and they're all really utilized. And one of the nice things that I've seen is that this is a community that really watches out and takes care of each other. We've got a great group of volunteers that are coming in every single week to go and serve a healthy meal. But the people that we're serving really watch out for each other. They watch out for us, and they're looking for us every single week. But then they're watching out for each other, and you don't see anyone taking really any more than they need. I've seen over and over each week where somebody may come up for seconds or thirds, and somebody will come up for the first time, and they'll back off to make sure that somebody else gets the opportunity to have a healthy meal. And that's really refreshing. And I think it breaks down a lot of the stereotypes that that we've seen over the last several years.
Now, Allie, you're a millennial, correct?
Sorry?
You're a millennial, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Kind of.
So, Allie, can you tell us?
She's so young, you don't know what millennial.
Yeah.
That's
sorry.
What we call people your age. Now, have you been able to get any of your classmates or people your age involved in what you do as of yet?
None of my classmates have come down yet.
Yeah.
But we have had a lot of kids and parents who want to get their kids involved. We have a lot of people trying to get their service hours in. There's really just a really wide variety of age groups that's come out. And I personally love seeing all the little kids and having them interact with everyone. It's really cute.
That's great. So where do you go to school at, Allie?
Scott County Middle.
Scott County. And what grade are you in?
8th.
Great. So do you see kids your age wanting to get involved? And
yes,
and really
I definitely do. And a lot of them go to other charities and they have too many volunteers. But we always like to try and take everyone who wants to come, spread out the jobs, and just let anyone come.
Yeah, I know when I was your age, I did a thing with the Horizon Center. And it was at school. I couldn't get people to volunteer. I couldn't get the other kids to volunteer. So my mom and I called their parents. and said, "Hey, your kids in Beta Club, and they're not signing up for the thing." So that would be my advice: is get some home phone numbers and start getting on the parents.
We just started Beta Club, so I'm sure I'll get someone involved.
Yeah,
that's great. So I have a question because I think there's a whole other element. I mean, I admire the work that you all do of seeing a problem and going and just solving it. You know, and not making a big fuss about it, just straight up giving people sustenance that they need to feel good and feel alive. But I think it's the misinformation, it's the dehumanization of homelessness that I think is also another issue that comes into play. And I think not only giving someone a decent meal and treating them like a human being, but also just listening to them, listening to their stories. And so do you find that most folks, when you're giving them a meal, will just kind of come and get their food and go about their way? Or are there people that want to talk and kind of tell you what's going on with them, why they're not?
That's very interesting, because the first week that we went down, you could definitely see that there was some hesitation from people. They would come up, but they would get a meal, and then they'd walk away and congregate amongst themselves, and there really wasn't a whole lot of interaction. But after that, after the last several months, we know these people's stories, and they come and talk to us, and so we get to visit with them when they're in line, and we get to hear about their week, and if they've received jobs or whatever is going on in their lives. But also now what we do is, because we have so many volunteers, we start going around the park with plastic bags to go and clean up trash to make sure that we leave the park in a better state than it was when we arrived. We get a chance to go and talk with people. So even when they're outside of the line and not moving through and not wanting to hold up anyone else getting a meal, we're able to sit down and spend a little bit more time talking with people and getting to know people and their stories. And it's been a wonderful addition to what we've been able to do, because it is all about treating people with compassion and respect. And whether you're doing that through just visiting with them or you're doing that through serving them a meal, you really need to get down to those two core elements.
And why do you... I'm sorry. Please, Allie, go.
I just wanted to say that I've noticed since the first week we've been out there, I kind of sensed a little, like he said, a little bit of hesitation. And the way I thought about it was like there was a wall between one side of the table and the other side of the table, the people who were serving and the people who were being served. And I feel like that wall is completely dissolved. And everyone, we love listening to people's stories. We hear about how their weeks have been. One couple that we met got housing, and it was just been an amazing experience.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, thank you all so much, and we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break. Just in case you're joining us, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU, and we're here with Tom and Allie Viney with Serve Lexington. We'll be right back.
Lexington Community Radio's programming is powered by West 6 Brewery, serving Kentucky-crafted microbrewed beer in a historic 100-plus-year-old former bakery called the Bread Box, located at 501 West 6th Street in Lexington. West 6 has over 15 different original beers on tap, including the West 6 IPA, West 6 Amber, Lemongrass Wheat, and Pay It Forward Cocoa Porter. West 6 canned beers can be purchased all over the Commonwealth and in the tap room. Flavors change daily and feature weekly firkin and barrel-aged short-run beers. For the kids, local kombucha and soda is always on tap, too. You can also visit West 6's new downtown tap room, the West 6 Green Room, located at 109 West Main Street. For more information, visit www.west6.com. Think local, drink local. Lexington Community Radio thanks West 6 for supporting true community radio.
This is Lydia Jacobs, host of Aging Adventures. We keep everyone up to date on what's going on in the senior community in Lexington, conferences available, how to stay healthy. We talk to a wide range of people, professionals, individuals who are paving their own way in the aging world. Aging Adventures with host Lydia Jacobs on Fridays, 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock on 93.9 WLXU, a Lexington community radio. But in passing, we'll grow older every day.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU. I'm Chuck.
I'm Ben.
And the Bengineer is here.
Yeah.
And we're here with Tom and Allie from Serve Lexington. And we're talking about the good work that you all do, bringing hot meals to folks in downtown Lexington, particularly in front of the courthouse and Phoenix Park. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us, we were talking a little bit kind of about the different stories and the relationships that you all have built with Lexington's homeless folks. Can you tell us a little bit more just about I guess my question is really, why do you think most folks are homeless in Lexington?
You know, you see a variety of different stories and a lot of different backstories. And I think that one of the things that became crystal clear and was a great learning lesson for myself and for Allie is that these are people that have just gone through some hard times, whether they're hard times that the environment that they were put into and they're just having to deal with, or decisions that they've made themselves that they're having to pay for. At the end of the day, the people that we're serving that we see every single week, they're doing their best just to try to make a life for themselves. Mm-hmm. We've heard stories, everything from unemployment and not being able to get employed to, mm-hmm. we had some great visits with some of the amazing people that have served our country overseas. And because of whether it's a medical or a physical injury, have come back and haven't been able to reenter the workplace. And so they've been struggling, and where they may not fall into the homeless category. Mm-hmm. They definitely are, their resources are stretched. And so many times when we talk to these people, sometimes it's not even that they need a meal. Sometimes they just come over because we've got, especially during the summer, we'll have a cooler full of cold water, and they'll come and get a bottled water and then sit and visit with us. There's a lot of different reasons why we've seen people that are in this situation, and it really gets down to the fact of treating everyone with compassion and respect, no matter where they are in their life, because mm-hmm. at some point in all of our lives, we all need a little bit of help.
Absolutely.
And whatever level that is, and that doesn't make anyone different than somebody else. The interesting thing is that we do talk to people, and they will tell us, I've made some mistakes, and I'm paying for those mistakes. And one of the real touching moments that I remember several months ago is a gentleman came up and was getting something to eat, and he said, "I love seeing you down here with your daughter." Said, I lost my family several years ago due to some decisions that I made, and you know, spent the last 5 to 7 years getting clean, getting to a better place, and I hope to be able to see my family and my daughters again. But seeing you and your daughter down here gives me hope. Mm. We had another gentleman, one of my favorite stories, came by to get a meal and was talking about why we started this. And actually, most of the time, the first question is, "What church are you with?" And so we answer, and they kind of look at us funny when we say we're not from a church. We just came down and started doing this on our own. Mm-hmm. And so that intrigued him. And so he started talking about the motivation behind why we were doing this. And the next week he came back and he said, your story really inspired me. And I had promised my mother that I was going to go back to school, and your story inspired me, and I just got back from BCTC and enrolled in classes and even got financial aid, and he had his paperwork right there. Oh, wow. And brought it downtown to Phoenix Park to be able to show us. So we see some just incredible stories, not only of people that are in the process of They're living that life, and they're really struggling to try to make their way. But we also see the success stories and see those little steps that they're taking to get better, and that's just that really does make Wednesday nights one of the best nights of our week.
Well, that's incredible, and it sounds like you all are serving up much more than just chicken noodle soup. So can you let us know, when is the next serve happening? I know you said every Wednesday.
Yep, it's happening next Wednesday at Phoenix Park at 6 o'clock.
And so if folks want to come help out, do they need to get in touch with you first, or can they just show up?
There's no requirements for getting in touch. We do have a Facebook page where we post a calendar that says if you're interested in coming or coming. But there's really no requirements for getting in touch. You can just come down and help out.
What's something that someone coming down for the first time, what advice or wisdom would you give to those people, do you think?
Dress warm.
Oh, yeah. About how long are you guys out there for?
It depends on the week, and it depends on how much food we have and how many people are there. We're normally down there for about 30 minutes to an hour, I would say.
30 minutes.
Oh, wow. Well, that's nothing out of your day, out of your Wednesday. And UK doesn't play on Wednesdays usually.
yeah, right. Fine. Can I ask you guys, I know you mentioned that the community takes care of each other and that folks, you know, who are going for seconds and thirds will wait. How do you think the homeless community unites and helps each other out rather than kind of all working individually to try to, you know, save themselves?
Get theirs, yeah.
We see a lot of people that say, my friend down there, he's in a wheelchair and he's going to have trouble getting up here. Can I get two bowls? So we see a lot of people helping out. It's just really nice to see how the community comes together and just helps out everyone.
Yeah, I think it's been amazing where you see people and they say, as Allie said, I need to bring, is it okay if I bring this meal to this person? And that's one of the things that has been one of the bedrock principles of what we've been doing is we're trying to remove barriers from allowing people to come and actually help and volunteer and remove any barriers from people that actually want to be able to get a healthy meal. We're not trying to do anything other than just feed people something, a healthy, nutritious meal, mm-hmm. and they can come back as many times as they want to get food. Some of these people we hear, they say, well, I haven't eaten all day, or I haven't eaten in the last 2 days, or I haven't had vegetables in mm-hmm. so long. Mm. So we try to eliminate all the barriers that could be there that would inhibit somebody from either helping volunteer or helping themselves get a good meal. But that's been one of the interesting surprises is people keep asking, well, are we allowed to come back for seconds, or can I take this food to somebody else, and they actually want to walk us over to make sure that we know somebody's there. And and the response is, take whatever you need. It's here for you. Please take whatever you want. Come back as many times as you want. And it is really amazing to see that people will not come back for more to make sure that allows somebody to have something. Probably another one of great stories that we've seen just in the last probably 2-3 weeks is we had a volunteer that has become somebody that has done an amazing job coming down and helping us and has been there week after week. And she had a friend that heard what was going on with Serve, who lives in London, England. Mm-hmm. And she packed up a huge box of clothes and bags and such, and sent it over, wow. sent it to us, and for us to donate. And it was an amazing. That was touching in the first place. In the box, there were backpacks, which is that is one of those core things that we try to distribute, is because people want something to be able to carry things mm-hmm. in. And after a bit of time out on the streets, backpacks tend to deteriorate. And so we really try to go and give some of those as much as we can. A gentleman came up and he asked for a backpack. And so the lady gave him a backpack. He turned around, and then another woman who we've seen on a regular basis, who is in a wheelchair, came up and asked if we had another backpack. And this volunteer said, I'm sorry, I just gave the last one away. The gentleman heard this, turned back around, and came back and gave the backpack that he had just got to this woman. Wow. And it just epitomizes how the community really does watch out for each other. And you and I think I've said it to Allie several times, and some of the other volunteers, she mentioned, we're there from 6 o'clock at the most till 7 o'clock, because the food really does go fast, because we've built up so many people that now expect us to be there. Mm-hmm. And there's a line of people that are waiting for us
before we even get there.
But the fact is that they are there helping each other out and really watching out for each other, and helping us. The last week that I was there, I pull up in my truck and I've got 4 6-foot tables that we unload and coolers and everything, and I had a line of people that stepped out of line that were going to get something to eat and came over to the truck to help me unload and go and set up for the evening. So this is I can't emphasize the word community enough, because that's exactly what it is. It's been a privilege to be allowed by the people that we serve for us to be able to come down and to serve them every single week.
I'm curious, Tom, what do you do during the day? What do you do from 9 to 5?
other than being Allie's father, which is the best job in the world.
And being driven crazy by me.
That's a full-time job.
It is a full-time job. But I do consulting work, and so I'm able to go in and work with a variety of different companies. And this is, and it gives me time to be able to dedicate to really focusing on getting Serve off the ground and running. And I really can't emphasize enough, it is the, from a work perspective, it is the best part of my week, because in that 30 minutes to an hour that we are downtown, we get to see the best of humanity. Mm-hmm. On from the volunteers that come down and from the people that we're serving, it is incredible the appreciation and gratitude that you see from the people, who anyone from, if they've gotten a warm jacket or if they've gotten a bowl of soup or just during the summer if they get a cold bottle of water. Mm-hmm. The appreciation is just amazing.
Yeah. Ellie, what do you like in school? What are your subjects? What do you want to do? What do you want to be when you grow up?
I have no clue.
Yeah. You may feel bad about that. I'm 42. I still have no idea myself. That's why I asked you. I'm looking for ideas.
You'll just fall right into what you're supposed to be doing. And I'm so glad that you all have fallen right into what you're doing. Can I ask you kind of what inspired the idea, or what gave you this kind of altruistic approach to even begin wanting to do Serve?
One of the most important things in our family is healthy eating. We always try to make sure that we're eating nutritiously and just having a healthy lifestyle. And we know that the people that are getting fed downtown, they're getting a lot of stuff that's not as healthy as what we have the privilege to get and eat. So we wanted to share our privileges with other people.
Yeah, I think that I was blessed. My family did a wonderful job, really getting me involved in the community at a young age. Whether it was with doing things for Habitat for Humanity or American Cancer Society, whatever the activity, that was a component of growing up. And I wanted to be able to continue that work for myself, because it gives me a really good feeling of being more engaged in the community. Lexington has done so much for me. I feel that I want to be able to give back. But then also, I think it's important for the younger generation to really get involved. And we have, because of whether it's technology or cell phones and whatever, we've almost become a somewhat distant. And so this is a great opportunity for not only for Allie to come in and really get involved with people and put the human back into humanity. Mm. But the other people that we've seen come in do the exact same thing. And so it's showing that you don't have to go and use the cell phone or everything that you see on television isn't always correct. It's really getting down and just meeting people face to face.
And you get a nice little endorphin rush from doing this. I remember my parents did kind of the same thing with me when I was about Allie's age. It wasn't my idea. They pushed me into it, and then I found it rewarding afterwards. And you just find out that physiologically it does something for you, and it gets you moving, and you realize that's Yeah, that's part of being a human being and a well-rounded human being. It's part of our function to take care of each other like that. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll use the phone to go to Serve's Facebook site.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then put it down and go over on Wednesday.
That's exactly right. We'll be happy to hand you a spoon or to hand you some plates. And actually, Allie made a really good point. We collect the plastic bags that you get at the grocery store's bin, then we hand them out at the beginning of the line so people have something to carry all the food that we hand off to them. So it's a great way just to take a few minutes out of your day and get engaged with the community.
And let's give out that Facebook site one more time.
It's facebook.com/servelex, SERVELEX, or you can reach us at servelexington@gmail.com.
That's great. Well, thank you all so much for coming in and so much for the great work that you're doing, literally feeding and nourishing our communities and figuratively nourishing them as well.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we look forward to having you all back in too. And if there's anybody out there who, you know, just has something to spare or owns a restaurant or some food, we highly encourage you that you can get in touch with Serve and help feed those who don't have what you do. Spread it around.
And I think that's going to just about do it for us today. We missed Dr. Wermeling. Wermeling.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Oh, well, we are going to assume he had a very important emergency that he had to take care of.
True. He's
post-haste.
Yeah, he's distributing naloxone, which is a drug that is nasally administered for folks having opioid overdoses. So certainly,
we'll have him on at some point. We'll get to the bottom of that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, nonetheless, we're out of here. Thank you all. Thank you again so much for Tom and Allie for coming in and talking to us a little bit more about Serve.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Appreciate it. And next Wednesday.
Every Wednesday, 6 o'clock in Phoenix Park.
Right in front of the library.
That sounds great. Well, thank you all very much. And thanks to everybody out there for listening to Bluegrass Bios. We'll be back next Friday at 12 at noon. And you can listen to the rebroadcast on Saturday at 11 a.m.
Yeah. Oh, and we're on iTunes. And you can go to lexingtoncommunityradio.org and listen to us there.
All right. We'll see y'all next week. Aging Adventures is up next. Until then, adios.
At Doodle's Breakfast and Lunch, we bring locally raised and grown products directly from Kentucky farms to your plate. We do this not only because it tastes better, supports the community, and provides jobs. We do it because it's just the right thing to do. Like supporting this radio station, Doodle's is proud to support WLXU and Lexington Community Radio by bringing you local talent and content that matters. WLXU does for your brain what we do for your belly. Doodle's is open Tuesday through Sunday, 8 to 2, and is located at the corner of Limestone and 3rd. Our small batch, made with love, biscuits and gravy, is on the special board and runs out quickly. So you can come early and mention this ad for a surprise. Doodles. It's comfort food with a conscience. And we're a Kentucky proud restaurant. Lexington Community Radio thanks Doodles for supporting true community radio.
This is Sarah Wiley Van Meter from the LCR Board of Directors, and you're listening to WLXU 93.9 LPFM, Lexington Community Radio.